Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 209, part 1, Hunger and Thirst. Today is Friday, August 26, 2011. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the most is Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. We're located in the historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you haven't joined Pastor Paul's club and you need food, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 and older, or you are disabled with proof, you can come in Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. You'll need to bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. It's that easy. We have lots of food, so if you need food anywhere in Minnesota, we have no boundaries. You come to Pastor Paul's Club. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. And I just want to give a special shout-out and a thank you to the Sean Feinstein Foundation, who has helped Pastor Paul's for a number of years, 10, 15, lots of years, help donate to Pastor Paul's with his Feinstein match that occurs every April. And he's helped hunger partners throughout the U.S. for many years. A special thank you to you. We appreciate your support, who supported us before it became popular to support hunger issues. Thank you, Sean Feinstein Foundation in Rhode Island. Another special thank you to all you youth groups with YouthWorks who have come in this summer, who me and Pastor Paul have been able to work with. It's been great. What an encouragement you have been to Pastor Paul's Club. The work you've done is fantastic, and we're definitely going to be connecting on Facebook and at Pastor Paul's website. So we'll look for your pictures. I've got more than 300-400 pictures of you guys. And we'll see you on Flickr. Now, for Pastor Paul's podcast, this is the month of August, the hot month. Are we ready? Yes. Here are the messages. Peace, these eyes, harvest time, hunger and thirst. So be sure to tune in to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Don't miss an episode. God bless you and have a great month of August.
Tonight's message is entitled Hunger and Thirst. Before we enter into Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's look in again on David once again and see what he has to say about hunger and thirst. Now he's talking about the Israelites who were in trouble and were delivered. Psalm 107, 4 through 6, and it goes like this, verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. I wonder how many people out there listening to my voice on the radio or to these tapes can understand what this verse is saying. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. In other words, they wandered, no road and no road to follow there in the desert. Worse still, they wandered in the wilderness, and there's a lot of people that are in wilderness experiences right now. Nothing but a quiet, burning sand. And I believe they were lost in the worst possible place, even as a sinner is lost in sin. And they wandered, it says, up and down in vain, and searches and researches as a sinner does when he is awakened and sees his lost state. Sort of wandering around, back and forth. But you see, it ended in nothing, for they still remained in the wilderness. And I thought of my own life, how I had wandered all over in a lost condition, in a wilderness condition. No direction. No sense of well-being. And I thought, how many people are just like that, wandering around in the wilderness? And so it says, they wandered up and down in vain, searches and researches, I said, as a sinner searches, lost in his own sin. And still these people remained in the wilderness. Why? Because they didn't walk out of the wilderness. And then it goes on, and listen real careful to this. You listening on the radio, listen real careful. In a solitary way. No houses were near, no company or travelers. Now, the lonesomeness of the desert is awesome. How many have been out in the desert? Isn't that an awesome loneliness when you're all by yourself? Oh, it's okay at first, but you just stay out there for a little while all by yourself. There's a lot of folks listening right now that are surrounded by people, but that are in a wilderness experience, and they're there because they won't walk out of it. They're locked in themselves, and they won't walk out of this wilderness. Just sort of wander around. Wandering around. Because the loneliness of the desert has the most depressing influence. And has the most depressing, I should say, influence upon the man who is lost in this boundless waste. No familiar landmarks and no familiar people or friends. That's a wilderness. You can go on down, and a lot of people now listening on the radio might go on to Vegas or something like that. But there's no friends down there. There's no familiar landmarks and... It's going from one place to another place, and it's a sort of a wilderness, isn't it? Maybe you're in here tonight, and you're in a wilderness experience. And then it goes on, and it says they found no city to dwell in. See, there is no city to dwell in when you're in a wilderness experience. I mean, no matter where you go. There'll be no place that you can dwell in. Now, this is for the unsaved, but also for the saved here. If you seek something other than Jesus Christ, some other antidote to your problem, you'll be like the Israelites, and it says they found no city to dwell in. There's nowhere you can go to satisfy your sick soul. Nowhere. But it says they had no city to dwell. Well, how could there be? There was no city. Israel And Israel, in the wilderness, lived under canvas. And there's a lot of people living under canvas. Men under distress of soul, and I've talked to a lot of them on the telephone this week, and they can find nothing to rest upon, no comfort, no peace. A lot of times you'll find people that after salvation have many weary and disappointing times. How many can say amen to that one? Can you say that? What's the problem then? They can find no city to dwell in. Why? They're looking for some place outside. No, you're a city set on a hill. What are you looking for a city for when you're a city set upon a hill? And even though we're saved and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it seems like we are still searching for something, and it's right inside. It's a righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And you have it to call upon. And you call upon it. And the Lord says, call upon me in the time of the trouble and I will answer. And yet people go along in this sort of a solitary confinement. Solitary lonesomeness. Looking for another city. And so they live in sort of a dread solitude of their hearts, and it fills them with a dire distress. And so they're always distressed. They look like that hound dog looking up through their eyebrows. They're in distress. Why is that? They're looking for a city that isn't. And then it goes on and it says, hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Do you ever have faintness of soul? Now, I know from whence I speak, because I'm talking about myself. I went through this very same thing. Say amen, somebody. And when it happens, I know what's happening. I'm seeking something outside of Jesus, and it won't bring me any kind of peace. There is no city. Outside of the kingdom of God that's within you, there is no peace. The spirit sort of like sink when the bodily frame becomes exhausted by long privations. And I thought, well, who can keep up courage when he is ready to fall on the ground at every step through utter exhaustion? And a lot of people are walking around in utter exhaustion. Why? They are looking for another city that doesn't exist. So in relation to these Israelites that are out in the wilderness, we can very well put this into the unsaved people of this world right now, and even to the saved. But their supply of food is all eaten, and their water is all gone, and there are no fields, and there are no streams in the desert. And so their heart sinks in sort of a dire despair. And I see a lot of Christians that very same way. Their hearts have sort of sunk, and they're left outside. Are you hearing this message tonight? Listen to it, because it could very well help you. But anyway, such is the awakened conscience before it knows the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Sort of a wandering around in a desert experience, not knowing how to get out of that thing. Or it could pertain to a saved person seeking peace somewhere else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And every once in a while, you'll find yourselves doing that very same thing. And you know what? It won't work. How many know it doesn't work? And how many know you keep on searching anyway? Well, if I only had this and if I only had that. Huh? Sort of an Oz situation. Oh, if I only had a heart. Huh? You got to come right back to home ground. You got to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like I had lost these glasses, and I knew I had lost them in the seat of the truck. Oh, I fussed, and I fretted, and I looked under the seat. No, they weren't there. And the Lord was prompting me to seek him. So I Lord, where are those glasses? And I said, well, they're George's. And the Lord says, they're under the seat. And so I told George, I said, now I've looked under that seat a couple of times, but I really feel I should look under that seat again. And so I looked under the seat, and there the glasses were. But before I found them, I had to wander around in the desert. Have you seen my glasses? Did you take my glasses? Did you move my glasses? Did you take them? Were they by the phone? Did anybody see them? Did I drop them down here in these pickles here when I bent over? Does anybody see? Huh? But when I sought the kingdom of God, he showed me where my eyes were. I was sitting on them. And a lot of Christians sit on their eyes too, don't they? Say amen, somebody. So I got my peace back by seeking first the kingdom of God. And I learned a very valuable lesson. Why wander around in a wilderness? Have you wandered around in the wilderness this week? Oh, you can tell people when they're wandering around the wilderness, they look like a lost dog. Hound dog. You ever seen a hound dog? Aren't they a sad-looking thing? Great big old jaws hanging down and big old wrinkles under their eyes, bags and bag after bag after bag under their eyes, and they look up sort of them hound dog, look up through them old big thumps of eyebrows, and they look up like, ooh, huh? How many know there's a hound dog religion going on? Yeah, I really believe that. And so their heart sort of sinks in sort of a dire despair. I think there is nothing in the whole of the creation which can minister to its refreshment. Nothing. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, give it up, give it over. Don't look for any kind of an antidote outside of Jesus. It won't work. Now, verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Finally. Not until they were in their extremities did they pray. But the mercy is that they prayed then. Why didn't they just shoot themselves? No, mercy came in. And grace gave them grace. And had mercy on them and had them to pray. Gave them a desire. Put words in their mouth. And then they prayed in a right manner, didn't they? With a cry. Now your little ones, if they're just sort of fussing, you don't pay too much attention to them. Maybe they'll go back to sleep. When you hear him moving around, well, don't open the door up because you'll wake him up. Used to be fun at first, but now you don't want him up all the time, right, Marty? But when they cry, then you hear them. And isn't it awful that we have to get right down to the crying stage before we'll give up? We have to get so frustrated that we cry. We have to get so frustrated that we cry unto the Lord. Why? Because we think we can make it all by ourselves many times, don't we? And we'll wander around in the desert without crying out to the Lord. But anyway, they did cry, and mercy had them to cry even then in that state they were in. And then this is wonderful because they cried to the right person. They cried even to the Lord. Well, nothing else remained for them to do. Nothing. And so they cried out unto the Lord. They couldn't help themselves, and no one else could help them. A lot of times we think we can find help in other people. No, it is not there. You won't find help in other people. You'll just get more miserable. Say amen, somebody, because God doesn't make you to go after somebody else. He's made you to worship him and to seek him. So now they cried, it says, to God. Maybe you're half-starred. You're listening to me right now. Cry out. Cry out to the Lord. Now, I've done that, heaven knows, many times down here in this Northside ministry. And then it says, he delivered them out of their distresses. Not too long ago, I think it was a week, 10 days ago, I mentioned to someone, maybe I mentioned it right here, I don't know. But I said, God, I was on the way to church, and I said, Lord, I haven't been praying like I should on the way to church. And I started praying. I said, Lord, I got to beseech thee to meet the finances of this church and to meet the needs of this church. That's how I put it. And God blessed us with foods by the tons. Say amen, somebody. And it's still coming in. A guy called the other day and he says, "Say, I have 3,000 packages of English muffins. How many can you use?" "Oh," I said, "about 3,000 packages." See, I got that great big cooler downstairs, and that big cooler downstairs is to be filled, and them cookers downstairs are to be cooked in. Now is not the time to lie down, but the time to get up and to cry out unto the Lord, "Lord, give me mercy right now, because I've become an old hound dog in this thing." Now, if the shoe fits, you listen on the radio, wear it, even if it pinches. Well, a person called me up. You know, you hear a lot about blessings all the time, don't you? Yes, someone, how they are, and many Christians will answer automatically, "I'm blessed." How many of you ran into folks like that? And then you tell some, "Well, the Lord bless you," and he says, "Oh, he does." End of conversation. And yet, there's something wrong. And yet, there's something lacking. What is it? I believe it's Matthew 5 and 6. And I think that's missing. And that's my message tonight. "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's what's missing right now. They are not seeking first the kingdom of God. Listen again now. "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be" what? "Filled." And aren't people looking all over for a blessing now? In your jobs, aren't people looking around for a blessing? How many know that people are looking all over for a blessing? People all over right now are hungering for a blessing. But you see, it only comes when we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, what does that mean exactly? For us to get righteous? No. All righteousness is Jesus Christ. "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ," all righteousness, "for they shall be filled." You want to get filled? Hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ. That's the problem. See, people aren't hungry right now. See, that's how we're filled. A blessed people are a filled people. And so when someone tells me, like, "I'm blessed," and it sounds real empty, it's because it comes out of an empty heart. A full heart would say, "Oh my God, I'm so blessed. I look for my glasses, and finally I sought the kingdom of God, and I hungered and thirsted after righteousness, after Jesus Christ, and he showed me where they were, or some other need. And I was filled to overflowing." And then, of course, a filled people are a blessed people. You can tell somebody when they're blessed. Can't you tell when someone is blessed? When a little kid is blessed, can't you tell it when they're filled? Huh, and they're just filled and they're all bubbly and they're all full of joy and they're just all giggly, huh? Huh? Well, what's with that little child? He is blessed. You buy him a toy and you hug him and you kiss him and you hold him and you rock him and they get blessed. And they have that look of contentment on their face. Well, I'm talking about in the natural sense now, but your little ones, when they're content and they seek ye first the dad or the mother, and they seek them and they get what they're after, and then they're blessed. And they can cry and yell and scream, but when mommy comes or daddy grabs them, and they're all smiles. Why? They are blessed. And when we seek Jesus Christ, we will be blessed, but we have to cry out. And when that little one, when you're not around, he's in sort of like a wilderness experience. He's lost. You put him in a strange house, and he's looking all over. No mommy, no daddy. Oh, and he wakes up in the house, and he's in a wilderness experience all day. Oh, God, where's mommy? Oh, huh? Aren't we the very same way? Unless you come as a child, you'll in no ways make it to the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. Now you look at these little ones, and I'll tell you why. You look at the little ones. You learn from them. The young shall lead the old. You want to get blessed? Study the habits of a child. They're happy with a roof over their head. They're happy with a little milk bottle or some string carrots, and I don't know how they can be happy with that, but they are. And you just watch them, and a nice warm little blanket, little security blanket. Huh? And they are blessed. They don't take a whole lot. Are you hearing this? And a filled people, I said, are a blessed people. Now, a little kid, when he gets filled, isn't he blessed? He just wiggles his little toes, you know, them little pink toes. He just wiggles them. Oing, 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 oing. He's sucking on this bottle, you know, oing, and them toes are twisting up. They almost look like little fists. Oing, oing. And he's drinking on this bottle, and he gets filled. Does a couple of quick burps, and that's it. He's content. He lays back. He goes into rest. He goes to sleep. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it says, for they shall be filled. By the way, we're filled by doing the will of God. Our meat is to do the will of the Father. Jesus said that. My meat is to do the will of the Father. Now, sitters, you listening on the radio, sluggards, complainers, do nothing people can't be blessed. A sluggard cannot be blessed. A sitter cannot be blessed. Now sitters and sluggers and complainers are miserable, mean people. I don't know, a person that doesn't do anything is mean. Huh? How many know that? They don't do anything, they just mean. Okay. Do nothing people are not blessed. I mean, a person who doesn't do anything isn't blessed. You can tell they're all mean and they're sort of guilty and they just, well, they didn't do nothing. So now they got the old liver lip trip, see, where their lips hang out like two limp pieces of calf liver, you know, and they're walking around, you know. Are they blessed? No. Oh, my God. And they're always telling you, I'm blessed. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah? Why don't you act like it then? Why don't you get blessed by doing something? Why don't you be a blessing? And whatever you give out, if you give out a blessing, that's what you get back. Pushed down, packed together, and running over. So it's a blessing for a bigger blessing. Now you say, but that would cause me to suffer. Well, first the suffering, then the joy. They can claim they are blessed, but it ain't necessarily so. Oh, it ain't necessarily so. How many have ever heard that song? Anybody? It ain't necessarily so. They tell me they're blessed. It ain't necessarily so. A blessed person doesn't have to tell you one single solitary thing. You can see by the look on his face that he's blessed, and in his walk that he's blessed, and in the talk that he's blessed, and by the other people he's around, they get blessed. He's a blessing just being around folks. I'll tell you right now, it's doing the will of God. It's a blessing. Don't give it up. Don't sit down on your frumpy backsides and give up your blessing. Oh, why? You start out in the spirit, people. You're listening on the radio, and you were so blessed. You start, oh, I feel so good doing something for the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I hear you all the time. But you fizzle out, and you get into the flesh, and you sit down, and you sluggardize. And it's just like you punch in and punch out, and you lose your blessing. I know that's the truth. Whew. No, it ain't necessarily so when somebody says, I'm blessed. Well, and I thought to myself, how can people be blessed when they hunger and thirst after the movie and the TV and the sports and the bed and sleep and sex and booze and drugs? More than God. You cannot be blessed. I don't care how many zoop-de-doo clothes you buy. It won't bless you. You'll be a mean, miserable cat in a zoot suit. Clothes won't do it for you. No. Cars won't do it for you. Houses won't do it for you. Folks won't do it for you. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, which means Jesus Christ. And then all these other things will be added on to you. See, because you're blessed. You're ready for things to come your way. You're in the mood for things to come your way. You're on a roll now. You're on a roll now. You're on a roll now. Get on a roll. Get on a roll. Get on a roll. Wake up. My God, wake up. You're listening on a radio. Wake up and get your blessing back. You've been robbed out of your blessing. How many know you can be robbed out of your blessing in just a couple of short seconds by a person, maybe? And all of a sudden, you're all drained, and you're all dog-eyed, and you're looking down through your eyebrow, and you're walking around, oh God, I'm so miserable, oh God. Why? Why are you that way? Because you gave up your blessing. Say amen. If you're not a blessing, you're a curse. God, that's where the blessing is, in being a blessing to others. Don't give it up. Don't go on a 4-hour coffee break. How many are hearing this? My God. Oh, Christians out there, you've given up your blessing by the claim to fame. I mean, if they could argue who's going to get up off their backsides whilst they're watching TV to go after the snacks. How can they possibly obey God? Go ye out into the world and preach the gospel. Last Saturday, I sort of felt totally out of it. Totally unblessed. How many times you get up in the morning and you feel totally unblessed? Do you ever get up and felt unblessed? Huh? Well, have you? What does that necessarily mean? Totally unhappy. Blessed in the original means happy. How many wake up in the morning sometimes and they're totally unhappy? Totally. Totally miserable. Totally. Oh, God, put your hands up. Never? You've never woke up and felt that way, totally unhappy? Just in the evening, well. Just a little bit unhappy? Just a little, okay. God, I mean, I want to get this out here. See, I'm in the middle of deliverance right here, and there's a whole lot of Christians that, oh, I'm blessed. Bless you, brother. Well, I am blessed. No, see, the devil robs you of your blessing. Yet I knew if I obey God, and I know that. If I obey God, and if I would go out, and I would pass out rolls and pass out bread and witness, I would be filled. And believe me, I got blessed. I had a little gospel snack out there. Whew. Go ye out into the world and be a blessing. See, go ye out into the world and preach the gospel is a blessing. It made me even hunger and thirst the more after righteousness, after Jesus. I wanted more. Do you ever have a little, you're real hungry and you have a little piece of, let's say, German chocolate cake, just a little piece. Does you get hungry for more? How many hearing this today? Ooh, hallelujah. Don't you give up your blessing, folks. Don't hand it over. Guard it. Jealously guard it. Tenaciously guard it. Don't give it up. You know how you lose your blessing a lot of times? In your mind. You're right up here. Right up here. It's where you lose it, right here, see? In your frontal lobes. You give it over, see? We sort of look for excuses to give our blessing up.
I don't feel like it today.
You give the blessing to someone else. You've seen it all the time. You're listening on the radio. I get these cards. I get these letters. I get different things coming in off the phone. People are down, depressed, wandering around in a wilderness experience. Yeah. Well, anyway, the moral is unbusy people are unblessed. How can a person laying in bed be blessed? I mean, how can they be blessed? Huh? Oh, they're miserable, God. They roll over on this side, and then they roll, oh, and they roll over on that side, and somebody knocks on the door, oh, don't disturb my misery. Oh, God. Oh, and do you hear me? A slugger's laying up in the bed. Now it's a quarter to two at least. That's when they'll be hearing this. Huh? They don't want people to disturb their misery. Misery loves company, doesn't it? Huh? Some people got wall-to-wall mattresses in their house. So they can have a whole lot of people laying around in there. Oh, God. See, unbusy people, I said, are unblessed people. And then we have the people that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and they're always filled. Always filled. Always. They're filled, like I said, like a contented baby is. A contented baby, aren't they something? They speak in, as perfect as made the praises of babes and sucklings. Then they're speaking in tongues to God. They're happy, they're laying there. Now, you legalists that are listening today, I want you to remember something. You can't become righteous by degrees.
I have a degree in righteousness.
You can't school yourself into righteousness. I'm not talking about seeking your righteousness because you don't have any, and God doesn't see any man as righteous in himself. No man. They have all fallen short, and they have all missed the mark. All of them. Now listen, legalists, listen to what I'm talking about right here. You are no better off if you feel that way, then the whore. And she'll make it to the kingdom of heaven before you because she knows where she's at. I'm talking about it's Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And He makes you righteous by His blood, by His promise. You see, because man had a perfect righteousness before the fall, he enjoyed perfect blessedness. Can you imagine how much peace there is in a perfect blessedness? And so now, of course, that we've been restored, we have been made righteous. And so as it was in the first paradise, so must it also be in the second. The righteousness I'm talking about is a must to a blessed person. And you're only blessed when you seek righteousness, and righteousness is Jesus Christ. Now you're blessed. Now, you can't truly be happy and live in some kind of sin. You can't truly be happy and live in some kind of unforgiveness. And you can't truly be happy and live in some kind of deadness. See, holiness is a natural element of blessedness. Well, how do you get holy? By receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get holy. How many are hearing this? See, you can't live outside of that element. You can't live outside of Jesus. And you can't run away. You run away from Jesus, you pull a, I don't want to go to Nirvana. You want to end up in the belly of a fish? How many know what I'm talking about, the belly of a fish? I know a lot of you folks listening on the radio have been down inside the belly of a fish, a stinking old fish prepared for God just for your miserable hide. Say amen, somebody. Yep. See, you cannot live outside of that element. You cannot live outside of Jesus Christ. So, then, hey, if you're miserable, you've been seeking something other than Jesus Christ. If you're down, if you have to take some kind of a medicine cabinet pill and some head shrink is giving you some kind of a downer. Oh, and there's a lot of Christians that are on downers right now. What? Because they're not seeking first the kingdom of God. And they're on these damnable pills. And you know you can tell it? Their whole countenance changed. I talked to a couple people came in the other day and said, I almost told them, I said, man, you look like a dog. What happened to you? You're on downers or what? And their whole countenance changed. I know there's a lot of Christians that take some of these damnable pills. Come on now. Hey, if you're up with Jesus, why take downers? Valium freaks. Now, I'm not against medicine, but I'm saying something is lost. It's like talking to some kind of a zombie. Go get the broom, and the mind doesn't even register broom. Broom, what is a broom? Broom. That's a strange word. Broom. Broom. They cannot register what you're talking about. How many know there's a lot of that going on right now? And they just sort of stand around in a misfit situation. Broom? Broom. Yeah, you know the thing you grab and you sweep dirt up with. Broom. Yeah. And you almost have to school them all over again. B-R-O-O-M. Here is a broom. It's got little whiskers on it. It's all bound up on a stick. How many hear what I'm preaching here tonight? Come on. Come on now. Woo! A little bit heavy for you folks on the radio. Here's the truth. And the truth will set you free. Okay, I hear somebody say on the radio, if the first blessedness is gone because of the fall, and the blessedness of perfection will be in heaven, how about right now? Oh, well, just wait a minute. I'm getting to that. How about right now? Here's your answer. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not the doctor, not the shrink, not the mate, not the preacher. Nobody. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ. They shall be filled. See, we haven't in no way attained perfection. But our going after righteousness makes us a blessed people. Go for it! It'll keep you busy. Go after righteousness. Now you're not going to be totally righteous down here. I mean, you're going to be made over into the image of Christ, and then when you get up there, and if you get raptured out of here, you'll be made like him, because you'll see him as he really is, and to see him as he really is with all his glory, you've got to become part of that glory to even stand. But if you right now will just put your eyes on Christ and go for it, you'll be blessed. Even though you're in a miserable state right now, even though you're down on your knees and your tongue is hanging out and you're out there in that wilderness experience, go for it. Go for it. Don't give up. Crawl on your belly if you have to. Do anything. But my God, don't give up. Go for it. And in the going for it, you'll get blessed.
But I don't want to. God, I was such a spiritual giant before. I had this. Now, preachers, you were listening on the radio, all four of you out there whining and crying and all this carrying on and all this. Listen to what I'm talking about right here. But this happened and that.
Go for it! 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 And you sitting here, go for it! That's how you get blessed, by going for it! You aren't going to attain it all while you're here, but go for it! Even though you're down and out, go for it! Go for it! And the going for it is a blessing! How do you know? If you go for it, and after the job is done, you say, my God, that wasn't bad. I feel blessed. Don't give up. Don't. My God, listen to me. So many down-of-the-mouth Christians. I don't believe it. And it all comes from seeking something other than the kingdom of God. Some prophet or prophetess or somebody to give you some kind of a word. Don't you do it. You seek ye first the kingdom of God and you hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ, and that's your blessing. When you're going for it, when you go on out there and you seek after it, that's when you get blessed. Even when you can't see it and you can't feel it and you can't touch it, just go for it and you get blessed whilst you're going. And so then that great blessedness of the past and that future blessedness gives us a present blessedness. How? By faith. Someone tells me I am blessed, and I see them continually and constantly always just quoting those words out of their face and quoting scriptures, and there's no kind of element behind it because you're not going for it. I say, certainly your faith betrays what you say on the basis of what it looks like. You cannot be blessed. I don't care how you try to turn on a smile. Unless you go for it, you ang going to get blessed. You're going to be hangdog. You're going to be a hound dog. You're going to be looking up through your eyebrows. You're going to have them great big sacks of fur and fuzz hanging off the sides of your face and your ears hanging down, and nothing will prep you up or make you feel good because you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, and you ain't going to get blessed until you go for it. Go for it. You don't have to go anyplace for it. You go for it in your heart. Say amen, somebody. See, preacher, you got to have a burden. And then you got to give that burden to your people. And then sometimes it's going to be too heavy a burden for him. Now look at Jesus. He started to give people burdens. Now, I don't think I want to do this. 500 of them left. And then he gave 12 of them a burden. Huh? Ended up with 11 of them standing on a hill far away. I have a desire here in my ministry. Now I always think, before I preach, may it be fulfilled by me and my seeking God and his righteousness, Jesus Christ. That I would become blessed for you. What good is a person if they're blessed, but they're not blessed for someone else? Huh? Isn't Jesus blessed? Huh? Why was he so blessed? He was blessed for you and me. For the joy that was before him, for the blessing that was before him, you and me. And so I think there's probably three things we should examine here tonight. Probably our singular appetites, hunger and thirst. And then probably next we see that the people are blessed or happy. Then I think there's a sort of a special bonus. They shall be filled. And so then with that first one, the singular appetites, hunger and thirst. Two urgent needs of the body. And they're used to show how our own soul should crave righteousness. Hunger pains and terrible thirst.
Thank you for joining the podcast. That was episode 209, part 1 of Hunger and Thirst. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion and part 2. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the state fair, you Minnesotans, and God bless you.
Get ready, you got to move.